The psalm this morning is Psalm 126. And this is a psalm which is dear to many hearts. Let me just read it one more time. A song for the ascent to Jerusalem. When the Lord restored his exiles to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. We were filled with laughter, and we sang for joy. And the other nations said, "What amazing things the Lord has done for them." Yes, the Lord has done amazing things for us. What joy! Restore our fortunes, Lord, as streams renew the desert. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. Isn't that beautiful? And those final words there in the King James are bringing in the sheaves. You know that old song? We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. This is where it comes from. It's this song. This is an especially meaningful psalm to me, and I think to many in this congregation, because we have planted much in tears. And the promise here is that what we have planted in tears, we will reap with joy. This psalm is looked at as one which prefigures what Jesus Christ does for all of us. Because the Israelites, when they were restored to Jerusalem after their exile, had not earned restoration. They had not earned return from exile. They had not earned forgiveness of the sins which had led to their exile. But the Lord, by His will, restored them to Jerusalem, the holy city. In the same way, for each of us, sinners, who have never earned a right to be before the throne of God, Jesus Christ gave everything in order to give us that access. I wonder if you've ever thought, struck me just this week, how valuable must you be? How valuable must I be in the eyes of God that Satan would struggle every day for my soul and that Jesus Christ would die to ransom it? How valuable must we be? Now, I have had moments, days, weeks, months, years, when I didn't seem particularly valuable in my eyes. And I would say in a lot of other people's eyes either. I wasn't rated as counting for much. There have been any number of people who have told me in my life that I would not likely succeed at many things that I've tried. Honest. Yeah, you're laughing now. And yet, somehow or other, the Lord had a higher opinion of my worth than of those who would look at me and assure me that I was worth less, and even of myself when I would look at me and be pretty sure that I was worth less. The Lord had a different opinion of me. And that's true for every single one of us. I doubt if there's a person in this room who at some point or other has not been told by another or by himself or herself that they really weren't worth that much. Sometimes that even comes at the point of greatest pride and greatest arrogance. Those times when we are so full of ourselves and so certain that everyone else around us is a fool or an idiot or worse. And then there comes that moment in the dark of the night when we look at ourselves and we know what we really do contain, regardless of our arrogance and our pride and our opinion of everyone else, and we realize that for all the show of bravado, there really isn't very much there to back it up. We're not nearly so great as we tell people we are. And we then translate that sometimes we just blow past that and continue on with the bravado. Sometimes we take that moment and look at ourselves and say, yeah, you really aren't worth much. Even though other people may think so, or at least I tell them that they should think so, you really aren't worth that much. But that's not what Scripture says. Scripture says we've fallen. Scripture says we have sinned. Scripture says we cannot of our own will redeem ourselves. But Scripture also tells us that we were so valuable to the one who made us that he would give everything to redeem us. Look at a Tiffany lamp. I saw yesterday at auction on eBay a copy of a Tiffany lamp going for $3,700, about this big. The real Tiffany lamp would be $300,000, because the creator of that Tiffany lamp was so gifted. And what he made became valuable because he was so gifted. The lamp didn't make itself. He fashioned it. That's where its value came from. Our value comes from the one who created us, from the one who made us. It's his value which is stamped on us by his name. And it's his value that makes Satan desire to become company with him. And it's the value that he put in us when he made us, that high value of creation, that makes us worth so much that Jesus would die to pay for the sins which separated us from the one who made us. This psalm, Psalm 126, talks about those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. Paul writes about how a seed must die and be buried before it can rise to life again. And when we look at Jesus Christ, we see that on Friday he was killed and buried, and on Sunday he rose again. What was planted in tears by his mother, his father, his disciples, all of those who loved him, what was buried, what was planted with tears, rose again on Sunday morning to shouts of joy. First, it was like in a dream. That's what they say here as they were restored to Jerusalem. When the Lord restored his exiles to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. And you know that when the first disciples saw Jesus, they thought they were dreaming, that this couldn't be true, that he had actually come back to life. They had buried him with tears. And yet he was restored to them and shown to be real. And he was harvested with shouts of joy. And he became as streams to renew the desert of all of their lives and of all of our lives. There isn't much that we need to do this morning. There isn't much that I need to preach. There isn't much that I need to do in the way of exegesis or looking at the Greek or anything like that this morning. All we need to do is look at our lives. And we see how we have been hurt, how we have hurt others. We see how we have been knocked down, and we see how we have fallen by our own volition. And we know that all of that, the wounding and the sinning, breaks the heart of God. And when we are privileged, and it is a privilege, to have the Holy Spirit fall on us, and he falls with conviction on us to help us see clearly
what it is that we have done which has broken the heart of God, then we weep. When He shows us what has been done to us that has wounded us so badly and which has broken the heart of God, then we weep. But when we give all of that over to the One who loved us more than any had ever loved us, more than any other could ever love us, the very One who the first chapter of John tells us we were made by, that the Father through the Son made us and all that exists. When we weep because of the way that we have been harmed and the way that we have harmed ourselves and others, that planting, that burying will be harvested by the Lord with His shouts of joy. And our shouts of joy at being reconciled and redeemed and returned to Jerusalem, those shouts of joy will be the great harvest, the great freedom, the freedom in word and the freedom in action, which the Lord intends for those who are His. Close your eyes. And just invite the Lord's and show us the heart of the Father. Show us the love of the Son. As I read the words of this psalm, just invite His presence. When the Lord restored His exiles to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. We were filled with laughter, and we sang for joy. And the other nations, the other people said, "What amazing things the Lord has done for them." Yes, the Lord has done amazing things for us. What joy! Restore us, O Lord, restore our fortunes as streams renew the desert. As streams renew the desert. As life-giving water brings new life to that which was dry. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing. We sing as we return with the harvest. We weep as we go to plant the seed, but we sing as we return with the harvest.